Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans, and we'll be continuing today with part one of Using Our Spiritual Gifts. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Having begun this practical section of the epistle with the call for a total surrender of our lives to the will of God, the apostle immediately turns to the subject of our lives together as the people of God. You know, this is something that we really, I think sometimes we miss, but we really have to get this. We are part of a larger thing. And each of us individually are a vital part of it. We're part of the body of Christ. And these instructions that are given to us here in the next several verses in the chapter, and in many places in the New Testament, these instructions on behavior and you know, all of the different facets of that, they have their primary application within the context of the body. Now, they extend beyond the body because, of course, we're to carry our behavior out into the world as well. But Paul is generally speaking, and the rest of the New Testament writers are generally speaking to us about our relationships with one another. And so that's what he launches into here, talking about us living together, doing life in church together, many members in one body, working together for the glory of Christ and the furtherance of the kingdom. So this is something that we need to get a hold of. We are members of the body of Christ, and as members, we have tasks to perform and functions to fulfill. We are not to be just sitting year after year, taking in and never giving out. That's not the intention. And so we have to, in some cases, we have to just get a kind of a completely different mindset about what church is. It's not, you know, it's not a place to merely be a spectator. It's a place where you come to be engaged. And it doesn't just stop here, because, of course, the life of the body doesn't just occur while we're gathered together, but the life of the body goes on day in and day out, you know, in a variety of different ways. But we need to be thinking in terms of engagement. We need to be thinking in terms of involvement. And after a brief season of getting grounded in the faith, we should be plugging in and looking for opportunities to serve the Lord. You know, as you read through the New Testament, one of the things that you notice as you know, are kind of going through, things are happening rather rapidly in those early days. The gospel's being preached, and people are being brought to faith, and men are being trained up and raised up and sent out and established, and young guys are pastoring churches within a relatively short period of time after coming to faith in the Lord. And what you see in the pages of the New Testament is you see activity. You see people on the move. You see there's a lot of action taking place. And there certainly is that place for getting established. There is that place for getting grounded. There is that place for learning and growing, of course. And we do that our entire lives. But, you know, sometimes people want to extend that out so far. You know, I've had people at times will say to me, you know, well, you know, I'm a new Christian. I've only been in the Lord 10 years. Well, if you've been in the Lord 10 years, you're not a new Christian. By the time you've been in the Lord 10 years, man, you ought to be way down the road of maturity, growing as a disciple, even to the point of having discipled others and really, you know, engaging and exercising your gifts and all of those things. But it is true, isn't it, that sometimes we can find ourselves just, you know, we come, we sit, we listen, we take in, but we never really engage. That's not the New Testament picture. That's not the picture that we have given to us here by the apostle. So he's writing to us about these things. And so having, again, you know, called us by the mercies of God to present ourselves, present our bodies as living sacrifices, not being conformed to the world, being transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He then says in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." So here Paul is going to discuss, just briefly, not even really discuss, he's just going to mention these gifts, but notice what he's calling us to is using these gifts. But he says, first of all, that when it comes to serving the Lord, one of the most important ingredients in that is humility. We are to serve the Lord in humility. We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but we are to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, if I become prideful in regard to the ministry, then it just indicates that I've lost sight of how it is that I'm in the ministry in the first place. I'm in the ministry. I'm doing what I am doing by the grace and the gifting of God. Were it not for God's gracious gift to me to enable me to do a certain thing, I could not do it. So if I start to become prideful about it, if I start to think myself better than some of the other servants around me because I feel that I have a greater gift or a superior gifting or something like that, then again, I've lost sight of this whole thing. The Lord has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So God has given us these gifts. Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians, he asked them a question related to this because they were prideful, and in their pride, they were, you know, sort of dividing up against one another and so forth. And Paul says to them at one point, he says, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received, why do you boast as though you didn't receive it?" We've always got to keep that in mind. Because if we're going to serve the Lord effectively, if we're going to have the kind of impact that God wants us to have, the first thing that needs to happen is we have to be working together cooperatively. And if there's arrogance among us, then that's going to break that down. We're not going to be able to work together the way God intends us to if some are lifted up against others, and then others are jealous of the gifting of somebody else, and then somebody else is bitter because of, you know, something that that person said or did. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that the enemy seems to continually stir up in the body of Christ to prevent the church from being able to be as effective as God intends it to be. So, we've got to remember that just as a body has many members, and all of the members differ, they don't have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and we're individually members of one another. Now, let me just say this too. We've got to take this outside of our own four walls of our congregation. We've got to take it outside of our own particular movement or denomination. We've got to recognize that the body of Christ is made up of all different kinds of people, different groups of people. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, how could Christianity be true? You know, there's so many divisions and so many different groups, and nobody can agree on anything, and so on. You hear this kind of rhetoric from people. But, you know, the reality is this. All true Christians basically believe the same things when it comes to the essentials of the faith. We believe the same things as the Baptists believe. We believe the same things as the Presbyterians believe, or the Pentecostals, or, you know, whatever group you want to refer to within the, you know, the realm of the faith. We all believe essentially the same thing. It's in minor doctrinal issues that we have differences of opinion about, you know, the meaning of certain things or the importance of certain things. So oftentimes, you know, because people will say that to me, they'll use that as an argument against, you know, my suggestion that they ought to become Christians. Oh, you Christians, you guys can't even agree. Yeah, you're so divided. You don't. No, we're not. And we need to remember that. We're not. And since that's the case, we need to make sure that we're not shooting at our brothers and sisters who essentially are indeed part of the body of Christ, but nevertheless, they have some differences of opinion on some minor issues. Instead of criticizing them or putting them down or warning that they're not really true Christians, we need to recognize, now, those are God's people as well. We're all part of this big family. And we need to some degree, for the greater witness in the community and the greater expansion of the kingdom, we need to be able to cooperate with each other. We need to be able to work together on certain things. And when it comes to our minor doctrinal differences, we need to be able to set that aside and say, well, you know, we don't agree on this particular point, but it's not a salvation issue, so therefore, let's just not wrangle over it. Let's just, you know, move forward and see if we can see Jesus glorified and the kingdom of God advanced. So when we're talking about the body, we need to see it beyond ourselves. We're part of it. Has immediate application to us because we are all huddled together in one place and part of a local fellowship. But let's not make the mistake of thinking that it stops with us. Now, most people don't think that in actually, but sometimes we behave that way. So, many members, one body. But then having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, God hasn't given everybody the same gift. He's given us different gifts. And Paul elaborates on this further in his epistle to the Corinthians. He says, the body is made up of many parts. You know, if the body were just one part, the eye, where would the hearing be? And if it were just the hands, where would the feet be? And sometimes what happens is we get envious or we're jealous that we didn't get to be a different part. I don't like the part that I get to be. I want to be that. But yet we have to recognize that the Lord is the one who, according to his grace, he has given different gifts to different people. And instead of being jealous, instead of being envious, instead of being bitter about that, we need to just say, thank you, Lord, and praise you for what you're doing with that member of the body. And Lord, thank you for what you're doing with me as a member of your body and what you've called me to. These are the kinds of things we really have to fight against. The tendency toward envy and jealousy and so forth. But here's the main thing we want to focus on. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. I know some people that are not doing that. I know some people that I know are gifted. I've seen their gifts in operation over the years. I've seen the Lord use them in the past, but I've seen a stagnation also set in, or a neglect. And so even though those gifts are there, they're not being used. Well, God gave us gifts to use them. Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Stir it up. Don't let it go dormant. The actual wording there is fan it to full flame. So as the fire begins to die out, you put more wood on it to stoke it. You stir it up. And so that's the word. As God has given us gifts, we need to use those gifts. And the more we use them, the more capable we become with those gifts, the more impactful we become through those gifts. We're sharpened as we use them. So this is the important thing. We all have gifts, and they differ from person to person. The important thing is that we use them. Now, here the apostle mentions some gifts, and this is not an exhaustive list of the gifts. We have another list in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We have references to gifts in Ephesians chapter 4 and also in Peter's first epistle. And some people see maybe a distinction. Some would say, you know, here we have gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, you might call those manifestations of the Spirit rather than gifts of the Spirit. Maybe so, but it's not an exhaustive list here. But he does give us some examples of gifts. Now, there is a school of thought that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer with us today. The gifts of the Spirit ceased, especially the more miraculous ones, the ones that are more obviously supernatural. Some would say, oh, those gifts, they ceased at the end of the apostolic period. They were just there accompanying the apostles in their ministry in order for the church to get established. And once the church was established, and once the canon of Scripture was completed, then it was no longer necessary for those gifts, so they faded away. The position is known as cessationism. The gifts have ceased. We do not believe that. We do not believe that the Bible teaches that. We believe that the Bible teaches that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. And they're to be with the church all the way through till the Lord's return. And thank God for that, because we need the gifts of the Spirit. We can't really do the ministry without the gifts of the Spirit. We don't have the ability to do what really needs to be done. And I think a lot of times, even those who hold the cessationist opinion, God is so merciful, he just uses them anyway, and even though they're not recognizing it, they're operating under a gift that they say doesn't exist today. They'll find out someday that wasn't their brilliance, it wasn't their ability to, you know, articulate, it wasn't their charisma, it wasn't any of those things, it was simply the Lord. But let's look at some of these gifts that he mentions here. And so he says, first of all, prophecy. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, the Bible says a lot about prophecy. And there tends to be some confusion over prophecy and the office of a prophet. I don't think when Paul talks about prophecy here, when he talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12, he's not referring to the same thing that we would find in the Old Testament with the prophets like Isaiah or Jeremiah or whoever else. I don't even think he's necessarily referring to the office of the prophet that we find mentioned in both 1 Corinthians 12 and also in Ephesians 4. But I think what Paul's talking about here is just that gift of prophecy that God gives according to his will to his people, just, you know, selectively throughout the body of Christ, people that are gifted at speaking the word of God. That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is speaking forth the word of God by the immediate assistance of the Spirit, I guess would be the way to put it. It's not just simply reading a portion of Scripture. It's not just simply quoting a portion of Scripture, but it's doing so under the direct unction of the Spirit, the direct moving of the Spirit. The Spirit moves upon you to speak forth this particular word. And the particular word that comes forth is the word that needed to come to either the congregation collectively or to individuals throughout the congregation or just simply to an individual person. And prophecy can be and ought to be, and thank God it does, take place from the pulpit. And let me just give you an example of when it's really happening. When you're sitting there and you feel like you're the only one here, God's speaking directly to you. All the questions that you've had going around in your head for the last couple of weeks, all the things that you've been perplexed about, all of that is being answered as somebody is standing up and sharing the word of God. That's a prophetic word that's happening right there. That's that gift of prophecy that's coming to you. I've had so many times people have come after a service and said, "How did you know I was coming tonight? Who told you the issues that I've been wrestling with?" And I've had people say, "You went point by point right down the very things that have been in my mind, the very things that I've been burdened over, and you just answered each one of those things." That's that prophetic word that's happening. So it happens from the pulpit, but it doesn't only happen from the pulpit. It happens sometimes just on an individual level. As God just prompts his people with a prophetic gift to speak to somebody else, say, "You know, I don't know, I just feel like the Lord wants me to share this with you." Have you ever had those times where somebody comes and says something to you and it just resonates in your soul? You just, man, that was the Lord. A friend of mine told me the other day that he's had a lot on his mind and he's making some big decisions, and he met this person, and he said the moment they met, the guy just began to speak to him, and as he was speaking to him, it was the Holy Spirit just going right to the very issues that he was struggling with and just giving him assurance and comfort and peace. It was a prophetic word. So he says, if you have that gift of prophecy, use it. Prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, let me just say this. A lot of times when we're being used as that instrument to give that prophetic word, I wouldn't say we don't know it, because I think sometimes we do know it. We just sense that, oh, there's something, the Lord's just giving me something here. But listen, don't say, "Thus saith the Lord, I am a prophet. Let me speak this word of God over you." You don't need to do that. You just speak out the word. The Holy Spirit will convince the person of its prophetic nature.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Using Our Spiritual Gifts. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Using Our Spiritual Gifts. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0156. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.